God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of the truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are several things that I need to bring to our attention this morning, so I do not really know what kind of sermon we'll end up having. At any rate, the blessed ashes are available today. As you will see, the usual packets of ashes are right here. There's plenty for everybody, so please help yourselves, and if you want them for somebody else, please use them up. Take them all. As you know, on Ash Wednesday, we do impose the ashes upon our foreheads. We will do that again this morning, especially for those who were not able to come here on Ash Wednesday. For those of you who did come here on Ash Wednesday and would like to go again to receive the ashes, they are sacramental. Please feel free to come back a second time if that's what you wish to do. Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Ember Days, and they are days of fast and abstinence. You know the rules concerning fasting and abstaining. There will be no catechism class this morning because of the ceremony of the best ashes after Mass and also because of a baptism. In the vestibule of the church, we have a flyer. It is on a subject that I have wanted for a very, very long time to talk about, but never really found the opportunity, or it's such a delicate subject that I have had strong hesitations about talking about it. But the situation was solved for me this week in that a very wonderful article concerning the question that is being thrown at us from many angles today, the question of natural family planning. I strongly encourage you to take one of these pages that is in the back of the church and to read it carefully. There are many untheologians today, untheologians, I stress that word, that are promoting a system that is simply not Catholic. It's not even bad Catholic, it is not Catholic. And it is something that has been manufactured by I don't know who in recent years that have gone against the official teaching of the church that was established long since. So therefore, I encourage you to please take up one of these sheets of paper concerning it. It answers it well, and to be taken as it is intended. I merely am going to refer to this because I don't think we need to emphasize it any more than it has already been emphasized to us in other places. And that is, my dear people, let us pray for peace. It is very difficult to really assess the seriousness of the situation. It is obvious that whichever way we turn, right or left, up or down, or in or out, that life is never again going to be the same. And so, for whichever direction it turns, let us be prepared for it. First of all, by praying for peace, true peace. And secondly, by us turning to prayer, to a better quality of prayer, to a more serious kind of prayer. Prayer is the only thing that is going to save us. It always has been that way. But unless and until we are forced into the situation of better prayer, we kind of put it off, we'll worry about that tomorrow. Well, my beloved people, I fear that tomorrow is here. So let us pray. I wasn't here last, I told you about the blessed ashes, all right. I wasn't here last Sunday, and therefore the stressing on the Lenten observations may not have been here. I don't know whether Father Michael stressed it or not. Be that as it may, I wish to point out certain things this morning that I believe are important and we need to look upon them. Of course, I'm not going to go into the interpretation of fasting, and I'm not going to go into the interpretation of abstaining. We know all of that, and we know how we are to observe that, and we know the spirit with which we are to observe these regulations and restrictions concerning fasting and abstaining. But I wish to go further, because I think it is important that we look upon it exactly as it needs to be looked at. This is Lent. And as usual, we during Lent make resolutions. And as usual, after Lent gets started, we break those resolutions. And if anything at all, we put the resolutions upon us as we do a cloak. And then as soon as Lent is over, we take the cloak off and hang it up in a nice, safe place in the closet to be taken out again next year. But it is time, my beloved people, that we got serious with the things that we have to do. And it is time for us to examine and re-examine, and then examine them again, the reasons why we do some of the things that we do. The main one that I always want to lay stress upon is asking ourselves, not that I have any reason, but it's just to say this, but it's just something that I think that we should all do from time to time, just for the sake of keeping things in their proper perspective. And that is, why, oh why, do we attend a traditional Roman Catholic Mass? Why do we come here? In this particular place, this particular spot, this particular time, on a Sunday morning, to attend a traditional Mass, when we could be going elsewhere, and we could be receiving the blessings, perhaps, of the rest of our family members, and of our friends, and of those, our associates. But that why have we chosen this particular form of worship? And the biggest question of all is, have we also carried with us the sacraments and the application of the sacraments? Have we carried with us in the attendance of this Mass the discipline that Roman Catholicism asks of us concerning such sacraments as baptism, such sacraments of penance and Eucharist, such sacraments as the sacrament of matrimony? Do we pick and choose our interpretation of these disciplines? Have we placed these disciplines in our own private interpretation and application, an application of convenience? My beloved people, we must do what is required of us in the way that it is required of us. If we're going to come to Mass, this Mass, and not observe the disciplines that coming to this Mass requires, then there is something hypocritical. It's almost like coming to Sunday morning live in order to somehow make ourselves feel comfy. We do not manufacture the rules and regulations. There's a lot of this going on, and we know it, I know it, to the detriment of everybody involved. Leaning too far to the left is not any better than leaning too far to the right. We have to take Catholicism as it was, in its totality. And if we can't accept that, then we're in trouble. We cannot put one foot in this church, which we call the traditional church, and plant the other foot in the new church, a different religion. We cannot put our feet in both churches at the same time. That's out of the question. We're either in the one or we are in the other, and we have to keep that in our focus only too well if we are to accept or to receive the blessings of Almighty God. So, my beloved people, it's a matter of exercising mental honesty with ourselves and with others, and not allow ourselves to go into argumentation and debate and proving and searching and researching the reason we do this and the reason why we do that. The thing is, I want to be a Catholic. I want to be the kind of Catholic that my forefathers were, that my forefathers taught me. That's what we mean. And I think that during this Lent we need to work on this, because there is so much confusion here and elsewhere, not here hopefully, but there's so much confusion elsewhere and all around us that we cannot afford to go forth with a homemade, homespun, private interpretation type of Catholicism. If we did that here at these monks and nuns that you see here in front of you, we would be in a very bad way. We have to accept the Catholic religion, the Catholic interpretation, the Catholic application that was handed to us by our forefathers. We're not permitted to privately change things around, pick and choose whatever is convenient for us. The Catholic religion we must accept in its totality, altogether in its totality. And if we can't accept it in its totality, then we need to sit down and think things over. It is that which is required today. You see all around you a commitment by people who are not good people, perhaps. We're not judging. But we will say this, as we have said in here before, that the commitment of these people, wherever they are, and whoever they are, and however they are, the commitment of these people to what they honestly believe, to they honestly believe in, and completely believe in, their commitment so far exceeds ours. We're not asked to walk into a suicide situation, have we? Yet these people, in order to fulfill their commitment, will do that. All that we ask is that we understand and accept the disciplines that our holy religion requires of us. It comes to me, it comes to us from all directions. People who are, I guess the best word that I can find to use, to manufacture the way they believe. And when you hear someone say, who is a Catholic, well, this is the way I believe it should be. This is the way I believe it is. My beloved people, it is time for you to give a Dutch uncle talk to that person and say, now look, whose religion is it? So, my beloved people, during this Lent, our holy religion is suffering. It has been suffering for years and years and years. If I may speak, that I can remember, and anybody that is near my age can remember, the absolutely wonderful days that we all enjoyed when, in my youth and the youth of those who are about my age, were able to go to church Those days are gone. They are indeed gone with the wind. And we have to somehow develop and keep together that which is acceptable to God and to man. This has to be done with prayer. It has to be done with humility. It has to be done with understanding and compassion. And we have to follow the instruction that is given to us by established priests. Do you think for a second that after I was brought up in my age, and anyone else my age, brought up the way we were brought up, and suddenly transplanted into what we have today, want to talk about crucifixion? That's a crucifixion. Where you are completely ripped up from everything you once held sacred. It's not easy. It's not easy for us, and I know it's not easy for you. It's even less easy for your children and your children's children. We cannot afford the serious mistake of a Catholicism that is neither right, or which is either right or left. It has to be the objective Catholicism that was given to us by our forefathers, and that it is not up to me, nor you, nor anybody, to say, this is what I believe. This is the way it should be. That's Protestantism at its very core. We must accept the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We must accept all the disciplines that come to us because of that. This is what we have to offer to Almighty God during this Lent. We will have peace. It is not open for discussion. Because the more we discuss, it's amazing at how many untheologians there are today that are running around loose, writing articles and putting them in newspapers and magazines, that people who have not been properly educated and properly instructed read these things and accept them as gospel simply because they are in print or nowadays on the internet. My goodness, the internet today is pure, unadulterated gospel in the minds of countless people. And anybody, literally Humpty Dumpty, could put something on the internet and sign it Humpty Dumpty. And it's amazing at how many people will take that as sheer gospel. And that our children read these things and accept them as gospel. 90% of everything is presented to you to read. I have told you this before. I don't know if I use that same percentage or not, but at least it was a big percentage, is to be thrown in the garbage. The only thing that we should keep in mind when we read, does this reading make me feel just one bit holier? Does this reading bring me 1 degree closer to a happy interior life? Does this reading bring me to a good recollection? Or does it inspire in me something that's not describable? Does it inspire in me a hatred, an animosity, a self-opinion, or whatever? This is what we have to answer. And the minute we notice that this feeling is taking place in us, into the garbage, Don't give it to anybody else. Destroy it. Because it is written with the ink that was manufactured in hell. And the fires of hell are on a rampage today, aren't they? The only way we can conquer hell is by going to the Blessed Mother. And we must go to the Blessed Mother in all of the humility that is required of us when we go to her. And we must ask her to protect us and to defend us and to keep us from falling into the pit. Remember this, my beloved people. We're all sinners. I speak for myself and I speak for everybody. Which one of us today, if it were not for God's mercy and justice, the complete mercy and his justice too, are eligible, fit candidates for our eternal reward of heaven? Which one of us in this room here today can look back into the past and say, I am a saint? And yet, we present ourselves to an all-merciful God. And we kneel, and we strike our breasts, and say, together with the publican, O Lord, be merciful to me, for I have sinned. And what happened yesterday, my beloved people, happened yesterday. The thing that is important above all else is, what am I doing today? And during this Lent, this is all we have to recall to mind. What am I doing today? Our religion does not ask us to do the impossible things, the horrendous things. You know, sometimes there are some of us who enjoy bringing people, what they call, I brought them into the church. They are converted. And so they come into the church. And at the church door, there's somebody to meet them and place unbearable shackles upon them. And they have chased away a soul that was trying desperately to be saved. You know, I don't know, I know I had it in the bulletin, I repeat it, I hope to try to, because it's so beautiful. There was a sinner once upon a time who went to confession. And he confessed a pretty bad sin. And the priest gave him a little bit of a hard time and told him never to come back again with that sin. Time passed, and that same man approached the same priest with the same sin And the priest gave him an even harder time. Never do you come back to me with this. I will forgive you for the last time. Time passed. And the poor man came back with the same sin. And the priest said, no. And the crucifix that was hanging about told the priest, you didn't die for his sins. I did. And so we have it. This is our religion, my beloved people.